Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, starting with verse 21, reading through verse 28. I've titled my message this morning, A Mother's Love. A Mother's Love, and I find a wonderful picture of a mother's love here in Matthew chapter 15. A mother's love in a time of great trial, a time when things were not going as this mother would have liked. And in the midst of it, she reaches out to Jesus in love for her daughter. I want you to see this account, starting with verse 21. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So the disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus said to her, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, this entire account takes place outside the borders of Palestine. It is on Gentile soil where this particular story takes place. The purpose of Jesus visiting this region of Tyre and Sidon was not to expand his ministry to the non-Jews, but to rather escape the crowds that had been following him night and day. As we've been studying throughout the last few weeks, it was an intent of this journey to get some much-needed alone time, a time where Jesus could be alone with his disciples and just kind of recuperate and to restore emotionally and spiritually. But as we read on, we'll discover it didn't quite work out that way. Verse 22 says, in the midst of this planned R&R, in the midst of this time that Jesus wanted to kind of decompress with his disciples, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. Some translations read that this demonic spirit was cruel to this young lady, and this mother, seeing this, was brokenhearted and wanted help for her daughter. You know, I find in this portion of Scripture a beautiful picture of a mother's love. This child was the offspring of her womb. It was flesh of her flesh. It was bone of her bone. For the 9 months she'd carried her within her womb, she felt her daughter's every single movement. And long before this child was ever born, their spirits as mother and daughter had been welded together as one. This mother had hopes, dreams, and aspirations for her daughter. Dreams that one day this young girl would grow up to be a beautiful, productive young lady that would one day even have a family of her own. You know, mothers tend to have a lot of secret dreams locked inside of their hearts for their children. As you read through the Bible, you find that the Bible is complete with many, many examples about mothers having a special dream, a special ambition for their child. Sarah, the mother of Isaac, knew that this child was a very special child and that God had plans for this child. And again, you find where Sarah keeps things in her hearts and she ponders them before God. Jochebed, the mother of Moses, knew that he was a very special child, and that is why Moses was placed into the Nile when the death sentence was upon all the children of the Hebrews. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, knew that he was a promised son, and that God had a very special place for this young boy called Samuel. Yes, you'll read on in Scripture in the New Testament about Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And again, she knew that this child was to be the forerunner for the Messiah, the Christ. culminating in probably the greatest of all births that have ever happened on this earth, and that is Mary, the mother of Jesus. The Bible says she kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart, pondering the time when the angels made their visitation, as the Magi came from afar, all of the very little promises that God had placed inside of her heart, all of these things she kept inside. So it was with this mother. This mother was no different from any of these other women of Scripture. There were promises and dreams that she had for this young girl, and she was hoping and dreaming that one day that this young girl would grow to be a beautiful young lady and productive in every area of society, I'm sure. As her little girl began to grow, however, giving her the very best that she could afford, from little on, she begins to notice that there's something painfully evident, something that's wrong with her little girl. Something that is beyond the human dimension. Something beyond just merely what a mother can fix. And I'm sure this loving mother thought to herself at first, this is just a stage. She'll outgrow it. If I'm patient and if I'm loving, everything will be okay. But as time went by, rather than things getting better for her daughter, things waxed worse and worse. The problem ultimately became so dark. This problem seemed and was so deep that not even a mother's love could pull her daughter from this pit from which she had fallen. Now, being a Canaanite, which meant she was raised amongst those that even would sacrifice their children unto Moloch. If you go into northern parts of Israel to this very day, you will discover there are places where there were altars built to Moloch, where they literally would offer up their children. This mother, she is raised in a Canaanite country. Therefore, she's heathen. And the word heathen simply means someone that does not have the privilege of knowing God. And so she has not been privileged to be raised as a Hebrew. She has not been privileged to be raised to know the God of Israel. Being a Canaanite, this mother may have tried invoking the various names of the Canaanite gods. She may have cried out to Chemosh. She may have cried out to other gods of the Canaanites, "Oh gods, come to the aid of my daughter." She may have tried various medicines. She may have tried psychology and counseling. I believe this mother tried everything that was available, everything that she knew to do for her daughter. I believe she tried everything, all in an attempt to help her tormented daughter. However, nothing brought relief. But friends, remember, desperate people do desperate things. And she sought out help from Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 once again. A Canaanite woman, that is a woman that has been raised outside of the borders of the Palestine, not raised amongst the Hebrews. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." The original text here speaks of someone, after much contemplation, lunging suddenly into action and crying out to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." As though she was awaiting alongside maybe the roadway or the path, and as Jesus passes by and looking for a little bit of R&R and a little bit of downtime, she springs into action. "I can't wait any longer." She has contemplated this thing in her mind over and over and over. She's done everything she knows to do for her daughter, and there's nothing that she's been able to do. And she jumps into action and springs out before Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me." Notice once again the love of this mother. She speaks as though she herself is the one that is in need. Notice she says, "Have mercy on me." You know, somehow moms intuitively and personally feel our deepest needs. There's not a mom in this room that has not felt Sometimes it's been by knowledge and by understanding. You knew what your son or daughter was going through. They had shared it with you. Maybe someone else in the family had shared it with you, but you knew, you know, that there was a need. Others were intuitive. You just knew somehow, you just felt it in your guts, you might say. You just kind of, you sensed there was something not quite right. And in other occasions, it was the Spirit of God that was giving to you as a mother, giving to you insights, giving to you information about your son or about your daughter. And this woman, she senses, she knows there's something desperately wrong. And she cries out and says, "Have mercy on me." You know what a comfort it's been through the years knowing my mother has been interceding for me in my times of need. I can't even tell you all the times that I've received a phone call over the years. And she would just simply say, "Jerry, what's going on?" Living 600 and some miles away. Not only having 600 miles separating us, but there's 106 of us with my brothers, their wife, their children. And so that's a lot to keep track of for anyone. But in the midst of all of this, miles, add to that the numbers within the family. My mother's had that unique ability to just know because she walks with God. Listen to how this Canaanite mother then addresses Jesus. "Lord, Son of David." Now, living amongst a mixed population of Jews and Gentiles there in this area of Canaan, she must have heard this title referenced to Jesus before. Somewhere she heard someone refer to Jesus and call him Lord, Son of David. She possibly knew something of the hopes of the Hebrew nation and how they were expecting a Messiah from the lineage of King David himself. A Messiah, a Savior that would come and preach to the poor and heal the sick. And she probably had heard from Isaiah 61 from someone. When Messiah comes, he's going to bring deliverance to the captives. And at this point, I'm sure this mother's not sure. Does my daughter need physical healing? Is it emotional healing? Is it, you know, a spiritual deliverance? But she knows that this Hebrew that is going to come, this Messiah, when he arrives on the world scene from neighbors and friends and from what she'd heard in the streets, when this Messiah arrives in Israel, he is going to help people that are really in bad way. He is going to come and going to heal the sick and open blinded eyes. He is going to deliver those that are in bondage. He is going to do miraculous things. And this mother, here she is. She has been raised in a heathen nation. She has been pagan, meaning that she knows nothing about the true living God. And yet she's heard these things from someone. And in her mind, everything else has failed. My best attempts have fallen short. And she jumps into action as though this is my last chance. This is my last chance for my daughter, whom I love dearly. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. My daughter is in a terrible state," is what it says in the Phillips translation. "A devil has gotten into her." Many translations even read, "A cruel spirit is absolutely controlling her life." This young woman was in torment, and her mother knew it. This torment may have been body, soul, and spirit, or it may have been all three combined. We do not know. But we know this mother was so concerned. Now, this mother must have learned the diagnosis of demon possession from her Hebrew neighbors, for such an idea would have never occurred to the heathens that were living in this area. And they must have heard from a neighbor, someone, that, "I think your daughter, I think I know what's wrong. This is not emotional alone. This is not physical alone. There's a spiritual dimension that what is going on in your daughter's life." Listen to Jesus' response. Here's a mom that cries out and says, "Have mercy on me." Have mercy not only on me, but she's crying out for my daughter. And she empathizes so completely and so fully with her daughter. Her daughter's problem is her problem. Mom, I know, as much as you may try to say to yourself, well, this is the doings of my child, it really affects you deeply. When you rise up in the morning, it's the first thought of the day. And when you go to bed at night, it's the last thought for the night. And many times, even during the evening hours, while you're trying to get some sleep, your dreams are fixated upon that child you brought into this world, that one you love dearly. And you see them, and you're not quite sure what the answer is. And this woman saying, I've tried all, she jumps into action. Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Listen to Jesus' response. What seems on the outward appearance to be very cold, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps on crying out after us. That's pretty cold. Jesus did not answer a word. You know, friends, here's what I've discovered in my life, and I'm sure you have as well. There are times when heaven is silent. There are times when you are apt to question and say, God, are you deaf? God, do you not care? God, why is it that you seem like the heavens are made of brass and there is no answer coming? The Bible says to this woman and this loving mom that cries out and says, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me, meaning her daughter as well. And Jesus does not answer a word. Friends, I would simply say, when heaven seems to be silent, we need to do like this woman did. She did not give up. She kept right on. Matter of fact, she kept on following and you know, just wherever Jesus would go throughout the day. Jesus, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And this was being cried out over and over and over repetitively until the disciples finally come to Jesus and they say to her, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. Jesus, get rid of this woman. She's an embarrassment. Not only is she an embarrassment following us around, this woman is really getting on our nerves. And if you're not going to do anything for her, then just send her away. In the Greek here, it speaks of persistence. This woman, following after Jesus, had a persistence. And it is interesting, the word that is used here in the original language for persistence is that of like a bulldog's grip. A dog that latches on and will not let go. And the disciples are saying, this woman is like a dog. This woman is like a Gentile dog that will not let go. Jesus, just tell her to get lost. And she'll quit following, I'm sure. It was silent. Jesus did not respond. But she would not go away. And she would not be silent. You see, the daughter that she needed a miracle. This daughter that she loved, brought into this world, had hopes and dreams locked in her heart for. She would not be silenced. No amount of disciples, whether there have been 12 or whether there have been 70 or 120, there is never going to be enough to get rid of this woman. She is going to stay there. She's got the bulldog grip on. And she, by faith, is going to stay there because she has tried everything else. And no one else and nothing else has the answer. No one can bring relief to her daughter. And this is my last chance. And because of that, I am going to stick with it until an answer comes. Look at verse 24. He answered, that is Jesus, after having been silent. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, that did not stop this woman either. Jesus said, I have been sent. God the Father sent me, and he sent me not to the Gentiles. He has sent me to the Jews, because the gospel first was to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. He replied, it is not right to take the bread, the children's bread, and toss it to the dogs. Yes, it is, Lord, she said. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. In this portion of scripture, Jesus is explaining his mission up to this point, and his ministry is clearly to the Jewish people, to which he responds, I know that I'm not a Jew. I know that I'm a Canaanite. I know I do not understand your Jewish scriptures. I know I do not understand you as Messiah. I do not know what Isaiah 61 says you would proclaim and do here in full. I only hear things on the streets about you. However, forget all that. Lord, help me. Give me a crumb. Give me a crumb of your blessing. You say it's not right to give the children's food to the dogs. And of course, Gentiles were considered dogs. Now, it would seem as though this is a real put down, but the word that Jesus uses here is rather unique when he talks about a dog. He is talking about what would be a lap dog. And this dog lovingly stays right by its master. He said, it's not right to give the children's food to the lap dog. Well, nonetheless, she understood the Gentiles were considered by the Jews to be, you know, so debased and, you know, so far down the structure, the line of values that they were considered to be, you know, miserable dogs. But this mother is simply saying, I don't understand your theology, sir. I do not understand all the ramifications of what you have just told me about you coming first to the Jews. I do not understand this business about crumbs for sure. All I know is my daughter's life is on the line, and I'm not going anywhere until I get an answer. You're my only hope. Mom, sooner or later, dad as well, sooner or later, every mother reaches a point in their life and in their parenting where they cry out like this woman, Lord, help me. Lord, help my son. Lord, help my daughter. Lord, if you don't come through, there's nowhere else. All of my hopes, all of my dreams, and not only my hopes and dreams, but this precious one that I bore from my own womb, flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone, you're the only hope. Some of you moms here this morning, like this mother in Scripture, find yourself facing a dimension of your child's life over which you have no control. By nature, most of us, and some of us, preachers standing before you included, probably have a real bad case of wanting to be in control. We like to control our lives. We like to control our situations. We like to control what's happening in our families. Not talking about micromanaging, but I'm talking about feeling like when there's a need that we can fix it. And here is a need that no one could fix. And some of you moms are here this morning, and you've tried to control, you've done the best you could, you've gone to every kind of doctor, whether it's PhD or MD, you've gone everywhere, you've spent your money, you've done the best you can do, and your heart as a mom is broken. And you've been crying out, Lord, help me. Mom, I want to tell you this morning, don't give up. Even if it seems as though heaven is silent, don't give up. Don't give up, for God is on his throne and an answer is on the way. Look at verse 28. It says, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you have great faith.'" What did Jesus say? You know, there's only a few times in Scripture, and I forget the exact, it's only two or three times in all of Scripture where Jesus commends someone for their faith. And every time that Jesus commends someone for their faith, it's the most unlikely person on planet Earth. Never once did Jesus ever commend a Jew. Never once did he ever commend someone of faith, you know, someone that was raised in the faith, for having faith. Every single time that Jesus speaks about great faith, he speaks to those that were on the outside, the heathen, the pagan, the one that knows nothing of the Scriptures, knew nothing of God, did not know the blessings that should have been theirs through the Messiah. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. I commend your faith. Not only your faith, but your persistence. You will not let go. Even though you've heard some things that would cause some to be offended and leave, your love for your daughter, your love for this girl is so strong. And your mother's heart is so broken, you are not going to be denied. Woman, you have great faith." And then he says these words, "Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, some translations say that very hour when Jesus said, and her, you know, "Your request is granted," at that very moment, something supernatural took place in that young girl. Remember, the girl was not even present. Jesus simply said, "Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed at that moment. That word "healed" means was made whole once again, was stitched back together again. Body, soul, and spirit, demonic spirits had to leave. Hassling of her mind needed to cease. I love that phrase, "at that moment." You know, so many miracles can be traced to an exact hour of prayer. You can trace it to an exact moment that as the church was praying, something happened. As mom was praying, healing was happening. A miracle was breaking forth in that moment of prayer. Can you imagine that mother's joy upon returning home and finding her daughter that she loves so much? Well, in her right mind and in her right spirits. Mom, I would say to you this morning, hang in there. Don't give up. A miracle of God is on the way. Do not throw in the towel. No matter how frustrated you are and how many times you prayed before, and even though it may appear as though heaven has been silent, I want you to know that God is working on your behalf, and you will see that miracle. Yes, Mom, your love for your daughter, for your son, that calling out to God is being heard, and an answer is on the way.